Welcome back to the deep dive. If your goal is to get instantly well-informed about the biggest, wildest, and sometimes most terrifying tech news from the very end of the year, then you are in the right place. Today, we're on a bit of a surgical mission. We're cutting through a whole stack of late-breaking sources on, well, everything, tech, security, next-gen hardware, to really distill the crucial intelligence you need for 2026.
And what's so extraordinary about this particular cycle is the duality of it all. I mean, our sources show we're speeding towards these immense opportunities like AI physically leaving the screen, and at the exact same time, towards threats that could, you know, wipe out decades of digital security.
It's a real high-stakes moment. That tightrope walk is exactly what we're going to dissect.
Okay, so let's start with the revolutionary stuff.
Yes, the reports on this high-profile collaboration. We're talking Google with their Gemini model, Disney's Imagineering division, and a few robotics startups. And this is being hailed as the thing that finally solves one of the biggest problems in robotics.
It's the uncanny valley problem.
Yeah.
But solved with personality, not just, you know, perfect engineering. For so long, the robotics world has been split.
Mm-hmm.
You have the Boston Dynamics types, incredibly capable, but totally soulless.
Right, they're just industrial machines. And then you have the early humanoid prototypes like Tesla's Optimus, which always look a bit stiff, still mastering the basics.
Exactly. And this partnership, it was explicitly set up to bridge that gap.
Yeah.
So Google brings the core brain of Gemini, right? It handles the language, the complex reasoning, all of that.
But Disney Imagineering, the people who build those lifelike figures for theme parks, they provided the soul.
That's the perfect word for it. They brought decades of animatronic knowledge to give the robot fluid, expressive, and, this is key, non-threatening body language.
The real game changer here, though, seems to be what they're calling the emotional intelligence layer. The demos went way beyond just, you know, set the table.
Oh, far beyond.
Yeah.
The robots were adapting their physical response and their speed based entirely on the user's vocal tone.
Okay, so tell me more about that adaptation. How dramatic was it? Because if it's just slowing down, that's not really intelligence, that's just a setting.
That's the critical distinction here. The response was contextually de-escalating. So if a user shouted a command, you know, in an angry tone, the robot didn't just obey.
What did it do?
It adopted this submissive, slightly hunched posture, non-confrontational. It moved slower with a lower center of gravity.
Wow.
And conversely, if the user sounded sad or distressed, the robot's movements became noticeably slower, gentler, almost tentative. It's essentially simulating empathy to make the interaction smoother.
That's where the ethical questions just jump out at you. But before we go there, how does it learn this? The sources mention vision LLMs. What does that actually mean for development?
It's a total paradigm shift.
Hmm.
It means the robot doesn't need a programmer writing thousands of lines of code for every possible action. You don't code make coffee.
So what do you do?
It learns by watching. You show it how to make coffee just once, and it maps that visual data to the physical result. It can then replicate the process with, you know, immediate proficiency.
That must slash the time and cost of deployment. If you can teach a robot a new skill just by, what, showing it a YouTube video or having it watch a person for 10 minutes, the barriers to entry just fall away.
And that's exactly why experts are getting concerned about the short-term impact. The sources are predicting wide-scale deployment by 2026, mainly in sectors that can afford the high initial cost.
Like luxury hotels, high-end retail.
And, most critically, elder care facilities. This capability is expected to ignite a fierce, and I mean immediate, debate about labor displacement in the service industry.
But is that debate just hype? We've heard predictions about labor replacement for decades, and they never quite pan out.
The sources suggest this is different. It's because of the speed of customization. These models can adapt to the needs of a hospital or a resort almost instantly. Needed to clean floors a certain way, you just show it once. That acceleration is what makes the job forecast feel much more acute for 2026.
Okay, so from that very specific humanized robot, let's zoom out to something much, much larger. The infrastructure wars unfolding globally, especially in the Middle East. It's actually a perfect transition.
It is, because that small-scale AI needs massive-scale compute power. And that's the insight the Gulf nations are betting on. While Silicon Valley is focused on the consumer app, countries like Saudi Arabia and the UAE are making these huge strategic bets on the foundation.
The logic being that oil is finite.
But the need for data processing for AI computation is effectively infinite.
So tell us about the Saudi project. The NEOM AI cloud sounds like more than just a data center.
Oh, it's a statement of computational sovereignty. They've activated phase one. And it's not just a commercial server farm. It's one of the biggest high-performance computing clusters in the region, specifically designed to host their own sovereign Arabic large language models.
So it's about cultural and economic independence in AI.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But its main job is to be the central cognitive brain for the entire NEOM Giga project. It'll manage traffic, energy, security, healthcare, all of it in real time using AI. It's the central nervous system for a new city.
And the UAE is doing something similar, right? Integrating AI directly into their federal power grid.
Yes, part of their broader UAE AI 2031 strategy. That one is all about radical efficiency and risk mitigation. The goal is the total elimination of human error in power plant management by using real-time data to predict power surges, anticipate demand spikes with near-perfect accuracy, and just dynamically allocate
I mean,
resources.
they've put a pretty big number on that, haven't they?
They have. The internal claim is that this will reduce national energy costs by up to the 15%. This isn't just about saving money, it's a message. Both Saudi Arabia and the UAE are trying to become the global hub for AI compute.
Okay, now we have to shift gears pretty drastically from ambition and investment to, well, to anxiety. There's a new report from a global security consortium that says the timeline for quantum computers is accelerating, and with it, the threat to all existing digital security.
This is the existential threat in the sources, absolutely. The security we rely on every day, the math protecting your debit card PIN, the little padlock in your browser, even the foundation of Bitcoin, it all relies on math problems that would take a normal supercomputer millions of years to solve.
And the report keeps coming back to this term Q-Day. It sounds like something from a movie, but what does it actually mean?
Q-Day is that theoretical moment, which is getting closer and closer, when a quantum computer can solve those problems in mere minutes. If that happens, every piece of encrypted data we have becomes instantly readable. It would be a total global encryption failure.
That sounds like a problem for, you know, 5 or 10 years from now. But the report details a strategy that's being used today that makes this an immediate crisis. It's called Harvest Now, Decrypt Later.
That's the terrifying part. State-sponsored actors, they aren't waiting for the hardware. They're actively stealing and storing massive volumes of encrypted data right now.
Everything from corporate secrets to financial records.
Everything. They're betting that in the next 5 to 10 years, the hardware will be ready, and they can just decrypt all that stolen information at once. It's like stealing a locked safe and just waiting for someone to invent the universal key.
That requires immediate action then. What's the technical solution? What's the timeline?
The solution is migrating to something called post-quantum cryptography, or PQC. NIST is finalizing these new standards as we speak. The problem, and analysts are all over this, is logistics. The consortium is warning that banks, cloud providers, governments, they all need to start this migration immediately, like this quarter.
To avoid what they're calling a catastrophic security collapse around 2030. But I have to challenge that timeline. Our sources show that migrating global infrastructure to PQC standards could cost hundreds of billions of dollars. One analysis called it more complex than the Y2K fix. Is this even possible in 5 years?
That's a valid concern, and it's central to the debate. The cost and complexity are enormous, but the consensus is that the migration has to start now, even if it runs past the deadline. The first step is getting PQC into all new hardware. Then you identify the highest risk legacy systems.
The ones that will be targeted first after Q-Day.
Right. Even a partial migration buys us critical time. We can't wait until the threat is proven because by then it's already too late. The data's already gone.
Okay, that is certainly something heavy to think about. Let's pull ourselves back from the brink and look at some upcoming consumer hardware and creative software that actually sounds pretty exciting, starting with the iPhone.
Yes. Reports from Minchi Kuo and others in the supply chain suggest Apple is really dissatisfied with sales of the Plus models for the 14, 15, and 16. That form factor just didn't hit.
So the rumored replacement is being called the iPhone 18 Air, or maybe the iPhone Slim, and the whole design philosophy is a complete reversal.
It is. The focus is shifting entirely to form factor. The leaks describe a chassis that is significantly thinner than any previous flagship iPhone, made possible by a new titanium aluminum alloy. And get this, it might eliminate those massive camera bumps.
So they're targeting the style-conscious user who just wants something sleek.
Exactly.
But that thinness always comes with a trade-off, doesn't it? Especially with the camera and battery.
It does. And the primary compromise seems to be optics. The rumors suggest the Air will ditch the heavy telephoto and ultra-wide lenses. It'll have just a single but very powerful main camera.
Which brings us to the tech inside.
Yeah.
The A20 chip, built on TSMC's 2-nanometer process. Why is that 2-nanometer process so important for a thin phone? Isn't it just about speed?
It's much more about thermal efficiency. A 2-nanometer process lets Apple get maximum performance with minimum heat. In a super thin frame, you have less room for a battery and less surface area to dissipate heat. So the A20's efficiency is what lets a smaller battery power the phone all day without it overheating. It makes the whole thing viable.
Okay, shifting over to creative tools. This is fantastic news for gamers. CD Projekt Red's The Witcher 4, Project Polaris, is officially ahead of schedule and has entered full production.
It's great news. But the real technical significance here isn't the timing, it's the engine. They're moving completely away from their proprietary Reed engine, which, let's be honest, became a nightmare for them during Cyberpunk 2077.
A nightmare is putting it mildly. The sources we read said they spent almost 40% of their time just fighting the engine instead of building the game.
That's the whole benefit of switching to Unreal Engine 5. They instantly get advanced systems like Lumen for lighting and Nanite for geometry right out of the box. They don't have to build the foundational tech anymore. They can just focus their team on what they do best: narrative, quests, world building.
And if that speed holds up, what are analysts thinking for a release window?
The speculation now is that we could see a major gameplay reveal and a solid release window as early as the first half of 2026. This game's really expected to set the benchmark for open-world RPGs for the rest of the decade.
And finally, on the generative AI front, strong rumors about Midjourney V7 launching in early January sounds like a huge leap.
The feedback from beta testers suggests it's not just an iteration. They're calling it a paradigm shift in spatial understanding. Up until now, these 2D models have really struggled with the physics of a 3D world.
What does that native understanding of 3D actually look like to a user?
It means the images it generates will have fundamentally accurate depth maps, consistent lighting, perfect perspective. No more warped roads or weird shadows. It's a massive deal for architects, product designers, anyone using these tools professionally.
And the really disruptive rumor is that V7 will include video generation.
That puts Midjourney in direct competition with OpenAI's Sora and Runway Gen 3 overnight. And if they can get that same fidelity they have in their stills and reportedly fix those awful text rendering problems, they could become a major player in high-end video generation instantly.
So if we look back at this whole deep dive, you can really see that duality we started with. We are speeding towards these incredible opportunities, empathetic robots, unbelievable creative tools, and at the same time, towards existential threats like the total collapse of encryption.
So now you have the critical context on these huge late December breakthroughs and warnings. You're informed, you understand the complexity, and you're ready for what's coming next.
So what does this all mean for the bigger picture?
Well, the sources noted something interesting. The 2025 year-in-review news cycle is about to peak tomorrow. But given what we just discussed, from emotional AI to an imminent quantum threat, you have to ask yourself, how accurate can those retrospectives really be if the fundamental rules of the game change so drastically on the very last day?
Makes you reflect on how quickly the goalposts are moving.
Exactly, and what that pace really demands from all of us.
An excellent thought to end on. We'll see you next time for the next deep dive.